a whole lot of the time.
I want to tell you that right up front. I do Me not know brother. What I'm doing a lot of the time, but Amen. God always knows what he's doing.
Amen.
And so all we have to do is follow him, because this is the thought behind that song, as I said, goes exactly. We as Christians are spiritual beings living in a fleshly body that goes about in a physical world. God knows what he's doing. When he created man, he created us, the Bible says, a little lower than the angels.
Yeah.
Angels are more powerful than we are. They're wiser, they're faster, they're more powerful. And we know this about angels. We don't know a whole lot. You know what we do know about angels? Enough.
Yeah, that's right.
Or he'd have told us more.
That's right, preacher.
You go to try to study angels, and you won't find very many books. There isn't a whole lot of books. This is the main book we need if we're going to study about angels.
Amen.
This is the only book we need right here.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Angels do not understand man. They cannot comprehend man's disobedience.
Right.
They can't. It's beyond them. They stand in awe. I'll just give you a couple, and I'm not preaching on angels tonight, don't worry. If you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching out of Genesis, the 23rd chapter, starting there in Genesis 23rd chapter, just the first two verses, and we'll get to the text in just a minute. But I just want to preface that with this thought. Angels don't comprehend our disobedience.
That's right.
Two examples of that. When John the Baptist's father doubted the angel's word, he asked him, how am I going to know? What's a sign? You know, the Bible says an evil and wicked generation need a sign. They seek a sign. And he said, I need a sign. The Jews were very bad about having to have a sign if they needed something. And it's, I'm just saying, that shows us something about ourselves. If we need a sign, we have better than any sign when we hold the Bible in our hands.
Right.
But when he said, what kind of sign will you give me that you truly are telling me the truth? And it's almost as if Gabriel was shocked. It's almost as if he couldn't believe that, what he heard. And he said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God Almighty. You want a sign? I'll give you a sign. You're not going to say another word for 9 months now. And he didn't. He was mute for the rest of that time that John the Baptist was God was forming that man, that tool that he used in his mother's womb. And another sign was when the Lord rose. He told his disciples, he gave them full instructions. They were simple, short, and to the point instructions. And he gave them those instructions. And what did the disciples do? And they stood there. The Bible says, gaping.
Yeah.
Gazing into the sky. Their mouth agape, they're just gazing into the sky. And the angels couldn't understand this. Wait a minute, he just told you to do something. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heaven? He's coming back, get busy. That's basically what they told.
Yeah.
That it's funny how God tells us over there how the in Acts 1:8, God the Son gave strict instructions to the disciples, to the church, what they needed to do. And they were still in Acts 8:1, there in Jerusalem. Now, as I said, I'm not talking about angels tonight. So I just wanted to preface it. They don't understand our disobedience. When we balk at the Lord, the disciples were very good about doubting the Savior. And I surrendered to missions 35 years ago, this past March. And I spent several years preparing for missions. And I left for the mission field, as Pastor said, 27 years ago. And what baffles my mind is when I step back after God has done something in my life, and I step back and I think, why didn't I trust Him wholly? Why didn't I trust Him completely? Why didn't I just believe Him? It's so easy to believe. All you have to do is believe.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And is He in heaven or is He not? He is.
Yeah.
He's at the right hand of His Father there in heaven, and He's coming back soon, and He does have all power. He said, all
Amen.
Power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, for that reason, you go out into the world and tell them all about me and what I've done, because we can do nothing.
Yes,
we can't do anything. And that's why we need Him so terribly. Here in Genesis, the 23rd chapter, we're just going to read the first two verses there. The Bible says, "And Sarah was 120 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her." Thank you. God is so good when He gives us scriptures. This scripture, now it's a very short two verses there, and it's very plain. Sarah was 127 years old. The Bible says, and this was the life of Sarah. You know what that tells me? We don't have long.
Yeah. You're right, preacher. Yeah.
We don't have long on this earth. I barely remember my grandpa Floyd. I barely remember him. I never knew my great-grandpa. Now that's just four generations. And there have been many, many, many generations since Abraham. The Bible says that the sin is passed down to the third and fourth generation. But praise the Lord, it says this also, righteousness is to 1,000 generations.
Amen.
Glory to God for
Amen.
His righteousness.
Yes,
here's one of the hardest times in Abraham's life. This was, and Abraham knew some hard times. And there's two onlys in this passage of Scripture. Here, Sarah is the only woman in the Bible that the Lord gives us her age. And maybe that's where we get the, it's not very gentlemanly to ask a lady her age. But Sarah, God gave us her age. She's also one of the two women in Hebrews 11. And we're going there in a little while. She's one of the only two women mentioned in what we call as, what we know as the Faith Hall of Fame. But God tells us a lot about her. You know, Sarah was married to a giant. Sarah was married to Abraham. And did you know Abraham made all kinds of mistakes in his life? When we started, I'm so glad God put their mistakes in here too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm so glad God shows us their human side as well. It's so much easier to follow God when we see that man is simply man. When men turn on us and backstab us, it's good to see. Now we expect that from the world. I have said it. I got it from my daddy. I heard him say it, I don't know how many times, but you can never expect a lost person to be anything more than a lost person.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I would see somebody do something wicked to him. Most people in our little town hated daddy because he stood for righteousness. He preached. Amen. And when he preached, he let it rip. He didn't hold anything back. And so they didn't like that. The deacon of the church, two deacons of the church, would go out on Saturday night and drink at the dance. And they would dance with other ladies at the dance. These were the two deacons, two of the deacons in the church. Daddy'd preach on drinking and dancing sometimes on Sunday morning. And so as he wasn't very popular, but I learned a lot from him just watching his life, growing up, watching his life, how when people would attack him, he would smile. He wouldn't attack back. He'd smile. He'd tell them the truth. He'd warn them of judgment to come, and he'd walk away, and I'd be steaming. And he'd say, "Son, you can't expect a lost person to be anything more than a lost person." And we can't. You know, we're hypocrites when we expect lost people to do something. They can't do anything. We can't even do anything,
Amen.
Much less them. Only God can. Listen, here's the other thing there that is mentioned here. Now, we got to realize Sarah died at 127, but she was a young woman. She kept her age. When I was over in Vietnam, I was shocked. I was over there, and my son, of course, he's almost 6 foot tall. And so Vietnamese, they're not real tall people. And those little kids, they'd walk up to him and they'd say, "Big, big American." And they liked his height. And he'd laugh and he'd joke with them and he'd ask plenty of them, "How old are you?" And he's expecting them to be his age, 20 years old, 20, 21. They'd say, 32, 27, 30. Really? Yeah, they keep their age. I don't know, something in that soup over there. That was good soup. I fell in love with it. I've been trying to mimic it. I ain't got the recipe yet. Sarah kept her age very well at 90 years old. King Abimelech thought, hey, she's good looking. He brought her into his home. And God almost got full of wrath there. Now, Abraham, though, here's the first time we see a man in the Bible cry in this passage. In this same passage, Genesis 23, Abraham wept for her. Abraham had been through all kinds of things. He had he was disappointed when Lot left him. He was there in chapter 13, verses 5 through 12. He was heartbroken when he had to send Ishmael away. Over there in chapter 21, verse 9 through 14, the Bible says that it just broke his heart. This was his son, not God told him in the next chapter, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac. You see, God didn't see him as, what I'm saying is we don't see things the way God sees them. That's why we must follow God.
Amen.
We must follow God. We're a spiritual being living in a fleshly body that gets around in a physical world. We don't see life like God sees it, but we need to.
Amen.
We need to see God life like the way God, as I said a while ago, angels were created beings also, created above man. But there's coming a day in eternity, we as sons of God will judge angels.
Yeah.
We're taking, they're just here to help us along the way. And we don't need to get sidetracked. Hebron here, he's found at Hebron here at Kirjath Arba. This was the old name for Hebron, the city. It's one of the oldest cities still inhabited in the world. And here in Hebron, it was in Canaan. Over there in Genesis, let's turn over there in the 12th chapter. I want to show you just a few things before I turn loose here, because there's so much history in this area. And in the 12th chapter now, God's and we won't read a lot of this, but I want you to see this. In the 12th chapter, the first three verses, the Bible says the Lord called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees. God called him out, said, leave your family. Look at what he said. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. He told him strict instructions. And what did Abraham do? Abram? Well, he almost obeyed. He took his uncle and his nephew and he got out. God said, leave him behind. Get out. Abram was 75 years old. You know, you're never too old to do something for God.
Amen.
Ever.
Amen.
Abram was 75 years old. And God called him out. Then right over there in the 13th chapter, looking there in starting at verse 14. I wanted to show you there. After he gave him the instructions in verse 4, it says, so Abram departed. He departed. Now I said he kind of obeyed. Not like we do a lot of times. But there in 13 verse 14, it says, and the Lord said unto Abram after that Lot was separated from him. Do you see what follows complete obedience? God steps in and he starts working a little more fully in our lives. He gave him that promise and told him all those things. And he said, arise, walk through the land, in verse 17, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. This is in right there. In that same, and what did Abram do? It says there, then Abram removed his tent. He took off. He started doing what, started obeying, but he didn't get very far. He camped out there in the plain of Mamre. Now, this is where the angels found him. When the angels came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, they found him there in the plains of Mamre, there where he was, where God stepped into his life again and started working again. And it was there in, we want to look at chapter 15. At the beginning of chapter 15, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. Now look at these two words. I am thy shield. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram, I'm everything you need.
Amen.
All tied up in one pack. I'm everything you need. I'm thy shield. I'm thy exceeding great reward. And what did Abram do? Same thing we do so many times. Very next verse. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? Abram, I'm everything you need. What do you need? I'm everything you need. Lord, what are you going to give me? Now he got the promise of Isaac right there. But let's look down there in verse 18. In that same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. It was a blessing as I watched that on the internet, watched that, when they opened the embassy there in Jerusalem, opened the new Israeli embassy in Jerusalem, it was a blessing to hear President Netanyahu say, this land belongs to Israel. Already, we've got the deed, goes back 3,000 years.
Yes, sir.
More than 3,000 years. Yes. I was glad to hear him say that. And I was glad to hear the other fellow Tucker, and he summed his speech up with, and thanks God. And so it was a blessing to realize that Israel is where God wants them to. They're right on schedule, and that's why we as Christians should support them, because
Amen.
Right over there, I'm just showing these there in chapter 17, verses 1 through 8, God gives him this, and he gives him the covenant, and he reinstates this fact that he's going to make them a great numbered people. He's going to do this. He's going to give them this land. God is doing this. Why? Because He's God.
Yes, sir.
And it's His plan.
Amen.
And we're nothing.
Amen.
We just go with His plan.
Yes, sir.
It's so easy. And yet we make such a task out of it. We back up in so many ways. Here, first of all, I want to show you that it's an everlasting covenant. Now, Abraham just kept trusting God's promises still in the future. At this point, Genesis 23, at this point, now God had promised him for several years of his life, Abram, I'm giving you this land. I'm going to give you this land. I'm giving you this land. I'm giving it to your children too. And you know what? When he gets there to the point where Sarah, his wife, dies, he didn't have legal claim to even 1 acre. And God told him, look as far as you can north, look as far as you can south, look as far as you can east and west, and it's all yours.
That's right, preacher.
And yet he didn't even own any place to bury his wife when she died. Why? Because he was trusting God. He wasn't dealing in real estate.
Amen.
He was trusting God. I just, if there's any real estate dealers in there, don't get offended. I'm just telling you something. Abram was simply trusting God. And this is all we as Christians need to do.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
All we need to do is
Amen.
Trust Him. There's so much there in the, it's His covenant that He made with Abram. And that He made and reconfirmed with Abraham. And at that point, made it all. Let's look. Turn over there, if you will, to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. As I said, here in this great hall of fame, there is so much here, and I don't want to get sidetracked. I really could on this side, and on this chapter right here. It's such a blessed chapter. But we're going to skip down there to God first shows us the elders. Then He shows us creation. Now listen to me. Again, there was a lot that God did before He created this physical world. We don't know a whole lot about it. And you know why? Because we don't need to.
That's right, preacher.
Amen. We'd get sidetracked. Man, it's such an obstinate. In Russian, they say, tupoy. Tupoy. It means hard forehead. Tupoy. Means hard forehead. And that's what men are. That's what men are. Men are simply such. But anyway, there he first names Abel. Then he names Enoch down in verse 5. And then down there in verse 7, he names Noah as a blessing here. When my oldest son visited from Florida, we got to go over there to that ark. And if you haven't been there, it's worth the money. Believe me, you ought to just, I'm telling you what, you get a chance to go there, you really should. It's just a replica, I know, but it helps you visualize what actually happened and how big that thing was. But in verse 8, God says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, you know, God, it's God that does the calling.
Yes, sir.
We've got to realize this everlasting covenant is so far greater than we are. All those creatures that were created before this physical earth and that are still yet, did you realize some of them are here right now? The Bible says angels are present when the preaching of the word is going on.
Amen.
Evil angels trying to distract you. Did you turn that oven off? What's that got to do with what God's saying?
Amen.
Let the house burn. God's talking.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Serious. There are evil angels that try to distract you. Did you see that rod? You know, I bet I could afford it this week. That was a nice rod and reel. And by the way, the fish are biting. Especially them little ones. But evil angels try to distract you.
Yes.
And the good angels, praise the Lord, a third of them stayed with, two-thirds of them stayed with God. There's only a third that joined the angel, joined the fallen angel, Lucifer, when he fell. Only one-third of them. It wouldn't have mattered, by the way, if all of them had joined him. God still makes the majority.
Yeah, amen.
But two-thirds of them still stay. Don't believe the world when they tell you it's such a bad thing. It's not. God's plan is going down to the end, and we are privileged to be part of His plan at the end.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. And here, Abraham, when he was called, he went out not knowing, he says, where he was going. He didn't know where he's going. He'd never been there before. When I got to Ukraine, I'd never been to Ukraine. I didn't speak Ukrainian. I spoke Russian. And buddy, I got cussed out for speaking Russian in Ukraine. If you hadn't noticed, the Ukrainians get along with Russians about like the Hatfields got along with McCoys down there. Yeah, they're shooting each other, killing each other. They hate each other, even though they're cousins, kind of like cousins. They hate each other. I went out on the street and asked some directions, and this guy got mad at me, and he cussed me out. And he said, what are you speaking? They don't even use the word Russian. They said, Pomoskalskomu. Pomoskalskomu means, and they have a special... nickname for Russians, Katsap. It's what grows on the billy goat right here, because Lenin wore one. And the Russians called him Hokhli, because Hohol grew out of the Cossacks right up here, that little ponytail they used to, so they call each other names, and they fight, and he cussed me out, and I was just shocked. I just walked away. I thought, what was that about? And the next week, I got cussed out again. And that time I wasn't having a good day. So I went ahead and told him, listen, fella, I told him in Russian, if you came to my country, I'd give you time to learn my language. Well, where are you from? I'm from America. Oh, okay. And he walked away. I guess that's, I'm sorry, in Ukrainian. But it was different. I had never been to Ukraine. I didn't speak their language. I didn't understand them. I didn't understand that when they're getting in your face, they're trying to help you. I didn't understand that. Like, get out of my face. But that's just Ukrainian nature. It's the Ukrainian culture. They help each other to a fault. I stopped for directions one time and asked this fellow where this government office was. Well, you know, and they talk really loud, by the way, as if you're going to understand them better when they talk louder. And he's telling me that, and another man, he's walking down the sidewalk, and he walks right over there. Where's the gentleman want to go? And he said, I'm telling him how to get to the Ovir, to the government office over here. And he said, he turned to me, don't listen to him. He's telling you wrong. That's not the right. And he turned back and he starts yelling at this guy. That's not the right direction. A third person got involved. And when the third person got involved, I just kind of backed away. I said, sorry, fellas. I didn't mean to cause a fight here. But it's just they want to help you so bad that it's just their nature. You know what? God loves every Ukrainian that He created and doesn't even want that mafioznik that kicked me from behind and broke my rib, doesn't even want him to go to hell.
That's right. You're right, preacher. Bless you, preacher.
God is not willing that any
That's right.
should perish.
Amen.
Any Chinese person, God didn't want them to go to hell.
That's right.
Any Japanese person, any Vietnamese, any South American, any North American, any Asian whatsoever, any European, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
God wants us to win them all.
Yes, sir.
And it was that blessed preacher from South, missionary from South Africa. He came back to England to Scotland to raise some more support. And the Lord gave him a burning sermon in his heart. Unto you, O men, do I call. And he got there that snowy, blustery night, and it was all elderly women. And he thought, Lord, how did I miss your instructions so badly? God said, preach what I gave you in his heart. He couldn't understand that. You know what? God calls us to places where we've never been, and he wants us to simply follow.
Amen, preacher.
He prayed about it some more, got up and preached that message as if he was preaching to a church full of men. And you know who he missed? That young lad up in the balcony pumping the organ named David Livingston. Now God's going to give some people in this vacation Bible school.
Yeah.
We don't know who they are, but God knows.
Amen.
God knows who they are, and he wants every one of them to come to know him. He wants every one of them to know his power. He wants every one of them to walk with him and develop a daily close walk with him. He wants every one of every person in the world to do that. And it's a shame when we balk at what God wants instead. There now we've already there in verse 8 through 16. The Bible said that when he was called at age 75, by the way, to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Do you ever feel like you're in a strange country? I tell you what, sometimes I go in places and I feel like I'm in a strange country.
Yes, sir.
I really do.
Yes.
All this music, banging in my head. We didn't have that when I was growing up.
Amen.
Where does stuff come from? You go in a store when I was a kid, you had elevator music. Ooh, you feel like you're floating.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't like that either, but that's beside the point. We're in a strange country.
Yes, we are.
We're not. Yes, we're in this world, but we're not of this world.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm going to get ahead of myself. No. Romans 4:16. Now, if we're faithful, some of those VBS kids will get to enjoy eternity with us. Romans 4:16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. For by grace are you saved. Through faith, the Bible says.
Amen.
To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who was the father of us all. God, he showed us faith in his life. And he just kept trusting, and he kept following, and kept trotting that sand. He finally bought him a little bit here in that passage we read about when Sarah left. That was his, and that's the title of my message, The Down Payment on Canaan.
Amen.
When he buried Sarah, he bought the down payment on Canaan land. But, I'm getting ahead again. Hebrews 11:11 says, and because I want to show you, it's not just an eternal covenant, everlasting covenant. It's also a faithful promise, as is ours. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.
Yes, sir.
He's going to do it.
Amen.
But Hebrews 11:11 says, though through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised.
Amen.
God gave a promise, and she, there in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. What we faithfully do in this life, it compasses all of eternity.
Yes, sir.
It's not just us.
Amen.
Right now, what we're doing tonight, serving the Lord, worshiping the Lord, what we're doing tonight compasses all of eternity. As I said, angels are involved with this. Who knows? The main one, God's Holy Spirit is involved in what we're doing here tonight.
Amen.
God wants the world to be saved. God wants everyone to be saved. And Hebrews 11:12 says, therefore sprang even of one of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. That's exactly what God promised Abraham over there in the covenant. Last of all, it's a very real reward. our reward is very real. It's so much more we can't even imagine. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man.
Right.
We can't even imagine waiting for us. Hebrews 11:13 said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and, look at this, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They did that. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation. That's our people. We're a chosen race of people. Many times when the Bible says generation, it's not talking about a span of time. Sometimes, a lot of times, it's talking about a race of people. That generation that shall not be wiped off the earth, the Bible says that's the Jewish people. God's promise is that they'll never be wiped out. Hitler tried, he failed, and where is he today? Many, many others, and Napoleon, many, many others tried and they failed, and where are they? The Bible says, anyway, That's the people. A royal priesthood, that's our position. Do you know why you get to go to God in prayer?
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Because in Christ, you're a priest.
That's right.
You're a priest. And so you can walk right into His throne room.
Praise the
by
Lord.
Prayer.
Hallelujah.
And tell Him whatever's on your heart. And in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit, you can receive from Him what you need right here in this
Hallelujah.
Word.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Gives you that as a priest.
Yes,
God
sir.
Gives you that promise. Not only that, an holy nation, that's our possession. Excuse me. An holy nation and a peculiar people, that's our prominence.
Amen.
We're meant to stand out.
Yes, sir.
As we went around this town today, this afternoon, we saw some who we basically were 99% sure they'd been to church.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
They stood out.
Yes, sir.
They stood out.
Yes, sir.
We're meant to stand out, not just on Sunday afternoon, by the way.
Amen.
On Monday, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We are a peculiar people, God says. We're meant to stand out. That should never bother us,
Amen.
Ever.
Amen.
It should never bother us. When we talk differently than the world, that shouldn't bother us.
Amen.
When they try to bash us with their talk, that shouldn't bother us. We simply warn them. Judgment day is coming. And we're going to give an account for every word we speak. You might ought to watch that language. That shouldn't bother us. We're meant to stand out. Why do we receive all these things as Christians? Here's the promise, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light.
Amen.
God wants us to love Him with all our heart. He wants us to praise Him with all our heart. He wants us to live for Him. You know how many times we long for revival? Because we haven't been doing what we're supposed to do.
Yes.
Left,
Lord, help us.
Right, left, right. When you get older, it's left, right, left, right. But that's a Christian soldier marching to the throne.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
That's what that is.
Amen.
God wants us just to keep following Him until He calls us forth. And glory to God, when that day comes,
yes, sir.
When that day comes, it's going to be worth it.
Oh, yes. Amen, preacher.
Let's stand to our feet with every head bowed and every eye closed. As the pianist comes to play a verse of invitation, maybe you'd like to come pray for someone. Maybe you'd like to come pray, just talk things over with the Lord. Maybe you'd like to come up here and just do business with Him. Do that. Lord, we commit this invitation to You to do with as You see fit, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. As the pianist comes, don't tarry. Just come right on up and talk to the Lord.